be fast here. Everybody's exercised about speaking and preaching. But if you're not fast, you're going to be left behind. So I'm very happy to be here tonight. And it's nice to know that you and I are on the same team. Have you ever told your life partner that? They were on the same team. Makes a difference when you know if you're working together. Isaiah 41, verse 8. I'm just reading part of the verse. Is this on? But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen. The far-reaching theme of Isaiah is servanthood as it applies to God's people, Israel. The whole book seeks to answer the question, how can a sinful people and corrupt people become the servants of God? Well, they were commissioned, sent down to do a mission, and the mission failed, and they were exiled to Babylon. And while there, God said, don't fear, this isn't the end of the story. We are going to complete this. It will be accomplished by the perfect servant. And that perfect servant is the Lord Jesus Christ. And you find that, if you want to read it later, is in Isaiah 42. It speaks about the perfect servant. Now, we talk about servanthood, and some people might think it's unfashionable. But back in Isaiah's day, servants were quite the thing. In fact, they were measured by the dignity of their master. It wasn't a case of how many servants you had, but how many people do you serve? So we come to, Matthew chapter 20, verse 17. Jesus is going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was going up to Jerusalem and took 12 disciples apart the way and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and scourge and crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again. The Lord Jesus Christ knew what was before him, and he saw that he was going to be betrayed to the chief priests and the scribes. He was going to be punished. He was going to be put to death and crucified, but on the third day he would rise again. He's telling this to his disciples. But you know, I don't believe, and do you believe, the disciples believed him? They didn't seem to understand that. Now, the reason I say that is because along comes the disciples, James and John's mother, and speaks to Jesus and says, I have something to ask you. Well, what is it you'd like to ask me? Well, in your kingdom, I would like one of my sons to sit on the right hand and one to sit on the left. Well, if they understood what Jesus was saying, you would think that who would want their son to sit on the left hand and right hand side of a man going to the gallows? So they believed he was setting up his kingdom. And of course, they wanted this prominent place. They wanted to be right up front. It's called a celebrate. They want to be up there where people can notice them. And what did this do to the other 10 disciples? It made them indignant that these disciples wanted to have all this glory, because they wanted a little bit of glory too. Well, things haven't changed much in 2,000 years, have they? Really? Colonel Irwin, when he stepped out of his little spaceship onto the surface of the moon, he took a couple steps. He says, when I get back to the earth, I'll be a celebrity. And then he caught himself. He says, no, I'll be a servant of God. That's what he wanted to be, a servant of God. And that's what I want each one here tonight, think about yourself as a servant of God. But people like the limelight. They like being a celebrity. I've said the word so much now I can't say it right. But remember the story I told you? This is the little children will understand this. When I was in high school, they had a cadet corps, and we had uniforms. And they had some 200 people. And we would march up and down, and they would be in training and so on. But there was a couple guys in that regiment that couldn't keep in step. Told you this before. And they couldn't keep in step. So the governor general's coming to town, and the commander's all excited. I'm going to put my troops in front of the governor general of Canada. But he's got a problem. What am I going to do with these two guys that can't keep in step? He had an idea. I'll put one at this end of the platform and one at this end of the platform. And when the troops come along to this one, they'll salute. When they get to the other end of the platform, they'll take their salute down. Now, the two boys happened to be Jim and Jerry Webb. Couldn't keep in step. What else is new? Well, there was a lady there. She was our next door neighbor. She's come from a very influential family, and she thought she was a cut above the rest. Her husband was the principal. And that thing dispersed, all those guys separating. She come huffing and puffing and got a hold of Jimmy and I and said, "How come you boys were up there like that? How did you get up there?" Well, I shouldn't have told her. But I said, "The reason is, Mrs. Hunt, we couldn't stay in step, so that's where they put us." But she wanted her son to be, he was the same age as us, she wanted her son to have the limelight. And that's the same today as it was in James and John's day. They had that celebrity status. Yes? The trouble with that status is, when my picture appeared on the front page of the Free Press and took up two-thirds of the page, and within 10 months, the same thing happened through no fault of mine. I didn't even know it was there. But I get all kinds of phone calls from strangers. "That's nice. We want you to come to our charity auction. We want you to come to our banquets." They didn't know me, but they thought, well, this high-profile guy will help our banquet. But you know what happens? Your closest friends, they take exception to that, and they give you the cold shoulder. So it's not worth it. Don't seek that celebrity status. That's what I'm trying to say. Go in for being a servant of God, and then you'll have. I had the pleasure of having and hearing Jack Lewell speak last night, and he could have been a celebrity within about 4 minutes. He spoke to 133 people. He had them in the palm of his hand. I've been going to this place since 1954. That's one of the finest meetings I was ever at. You could hear a pin drop. The place was packed. We had to close the door. We couldn't let anybody else in. And Jack preached the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. He was a servant of faithful servant of God. And men and women heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about, people. It's not about me getting ahead of you or you getting ahead of me. It's about preaching the gospel and winning men and women to Jesus Christ. Well, why do you care? What do I care if I'm ahead of you or you ahead of me? And I bring those two men in here Lord's Day evening to hear the gospel. My prayer is that they will come to know Jesus as their personal Savior. Because that's what it's all about. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't come to be served. He came to serve and to give His life a ransom for many. And that's the position I would like to see you and I take tonight. That we will serve God faithfully. And when you want to serve God faithfully, you almost have to put blinders on to see who, so you don't see who's coming up behind you. So you can stay focused on your mission to win the lost to Christ. Now, Jesus said, when they asked for this, Jesus said, "You don't know what you're asking for." He said, the Gentiles, they have their way of doing things. You could get away with that with the Gentiles. And that means the governments, the business places, they do things like this. You got a prime minister, you got cabinet members, you got deputy cabinet minister, you got the bureaucrat. Many different things can take place, and you can show favoritism. You can put this person in there and put that person in there. That's the way of the world. And Jesus said, my system doesn't work that way. My system is different. This is the way my system works. You're born again as a child of God. You come into the church, which is known as the body of Jesus Christ. And I'm the head of the body. Christ is the head of the body. Now, can you think of anything more sensitive, more caring, than being represented as a body? Because I'll tell you what, this hand is not fighting this hand. And this eye is not fighting this eye. They're working together. The minute that... Well, they couldn't begin to fight each other. So, the body of Christ, the church of the body of Christ, is believers make up that body. Now, if I take a hammer and slam my thumb, I've done it accidentally a few times, my whole body suffers. Right from the top of my head to the tip of my toe. If I was out intentionally hurting one of the fellow believers on Jesus Christ and the body of Christ, the whole body suffers. We don't need that. We need healthy spiritual bodies to proclaim the gospel of Christ. It does me no good to give anybody a hard time. It doesn't help me one bit. So what I'm saying is, the world can do these things. The world can show favoritism, Jesus says. But we're not doing that. This is the body of Christ. We're sensitive to each and everybody's individual need. And we're going to take good care of that. This hand can't reach for the Bible on the shelf if he doesn't have the eye to show him where the Bible is. This hand can't open the door if this ear doesn't hear the doorbell ringing. So each has to work together. And our little mission here, our little church here, has to work together. And it's so easy to work together. It's much so difficult to work against each other. But somehow or other, Satan loves to see us working against each other. That's what Satan wants. But we want to do what Christ wants us to do. We want to work together and get the job done. So, I remember a couple years ago, Duncan had, he's always got quite a bit of good ministry, but a couple years ago he said something that really, really spoke to me. He said, Duncan, you can tell me later if I said it wrong. He said, if you're offended by the ministry, if you're offended because somebody doesn't shake your hand, if you're offended because another believer is not speaking to you, your problem is pride. Wow. Just about knocked me off my chair. I had to think that over. I was so impressed when I got out of the meeting, I made a long distance phone call to a good friend of mine and told them the same thing. Be careful. If you do this, which Duncan has said, you have a pride. And pride should be like the tide. It should go out and not come in. And pride goeth before destruction. None of us want that. So it's very important to take the ministry that's coming across the pulpit and apply it to our lives. Not to be offended. Not to toss it this way and that. Now, when I talk about servanthood, I think of the young men that are coming up that they can take part in the morning meeting, they give out hymns, they can pray, they can even get up and say a few words. This is wonderful. And we have to have men coming up, because people like Duncan and Ian and Richard and Gordon aren't going to last forever. I know, I was here 50 years ago, and those men that were guiding and directing us are no longer here. You have to have people coming up that will fill the spot. So let's not worry if my son gets up or your son gets ahead. That's not what it's all about. What it's all about is that we get the message out together and spread the word of God. So I'd like to just say, Sometimes it's up to an individual that the other, that this person will speak or that person will speak. Whatever the case may be, please have an open mind and please give the Spirit of God liberty to invite different ones to take part. And another thing, if you ask somebody to take part and they say, well, you know, thank you very much, but maybe another time. That's not a no. That's not a no. What he's saying is, give me more information. Please encourage me. So if you're approaching somebody to open the Bible reading, for instance, if they say, oh, I'd sure like to be able to do that someday. Well, someday is just around the corner, and we're going to give you all the help in the world. Matter of fact, we have men like Jack Gould, Richard McCammon, Duncan Gunsire, who can mentor you and help you get off the ground in this little situation. Because we want you to develop and be in a position to carry on this faithful gospel work in Winnipeg. So I just leave that with you, that we've got to be definite. And I'd like to see someday the likes of Scott Dunsire, Ben, Gabby, Neil, and the twins opening Bible studies and talking to people in here. I'm an old man. I don't have to do it. You can overlook me. But these young people should be brought in and let them take a hold of things. Well, you might say, well, where am I going to get the... I'm not gifted that way. Or I'm limited. Well, you know the story of the lady that went to Elisha and she said, my husband passed away, I'm a widow, I'm in debt, and they want my two sons as bond people. I'm frustrated, I don't know which way to turn. And Elisha said, what do you have in your house? She says, I have a pot of oil. Good. He says, good. My friend, these young men have a pot of oil. The oil in the scriptures speaks about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit convicted them of their sin. The Holy Spirit fills up their life. The Holy Spirit guides and directs them day by day. The Holy Spirit guides them when they're reading their scriptures. And the Holy Spirit can help them open up Bible readings. They can help them preach the gospel. They can help them witness and testify to people on the street. The Holy Spirit is there. If I didn't have the Holy Spirit in my life, I wouldn't be able to meet people on the street and talk to them. The other day I spoke to a Hutterite man. He says, Jerry, I'd sure like to hear you preach. Well, that just about knocked me over. That a Hutterite man wanted to hear me preach. That's good, because he's a preacher himself. I says, good. You're going to get an invitation soon, so stand by. So the Spirit of God will fill your heart. Ask Jack Gould. He sure filled his heart last night and his message as well. I'm still getting vibes from his message last night. I've been going there for many years. That's one of the best meetings I was ever at. Yes, pray for the work he's doing. Another thing, how can I do it? That's what Moses said. They won't believe me. Who's going to believe me? And God says, just a minute. What do you have in your hand? I have a rod. A rod that could be thrown in the junk pile. And God says, cast it down. He cast it down and became a serpent. Wow, he says, now pick it up by the tail. He picks it up. It becomes a rod in his hand again. Ah. Now he says, put your hand in your bosom. Take it out. It's leopard hand. Put it back in. Put it back in. It's a healed hand. This is unbelievable. Now they will believe you. But Moses still said, I don't have the mouth. I don't have the tongue to speak. Just a minute, God says, who made you? Who made your mouth? Who made your tongue? He can help you and he'll get these words through you out. I'm talking to Neil and the twins and every young person here. You are only limited by the limitations you place on yourself. Rest in the power of God in your life and the sky is the limit. Believe me, take it from me. And I'm telling you, a fellow told me last night, I haven't heard Jack Gould preach for 30 years. Wow, he says, the Spirit of God sure got a hold of him. So I'm saying it can do the same for you. But you have to be a willing vessel to come in and be used of God. If somebody asked you to open up the Bible reading, it's not easy to say yes right away. But you could say yes. If you hesitate, we will still encourage you and help you to do that. Because we don't want to leave people behind. Pretty soon Ben will be up. And we don't want to leave him behind. We don't want to leave anybody behind. Years ago, a man by the Mr. Varley, he had a group of men, young men around him, and he says, this world doesn't know what God can do with a man that's dedicated to him. D.L. Moody was in that group. He says, sir, I want to live to be that man. And you know all the souls that T.L. Moody has witnessed and won for the Lord that will be in glory because of his faithful preaching and testimony. And you can have the same result in your life. Don't let anybody stand in your way. If somebody stands in your way, just go around them. And wait upon God. God is the answer. The Holy Spirit is the answer. Well, that's what I have to say, and I really appreciate the opportunity. Thank you very much.